Hi, I'm Andrew from When in Rome. I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of the right words to say. I promise. I know they don't sound the way I planned them to be. And you are listening to the New Way podcast.
Welcome back to another episode of the New Wave Music Podcast. T-Bone here.
And as always, Steve's here with you as well.
Before we begin, though, we'd like to welcome a new sponsor, Offside Apparel. We needed custom shirts for the Oingo Boingo former members concert, and I found Offside Apparel. And was I glad that I did, Steve. Great prices and service.
You can design online or upload your own designs on their website at offsideapparel.com. Perfect solution for family reunions, schools, clubs, companies, you name it. If you need custom printed or embroidered apparel, check out Offside Apparel. Plus, they ship everywhere.
And if you use the code NEWWAVE at checkout, all one word, NEW WAVE, you'll get 10% off your entire order through the end of 2023. Once again, that's offsideapparel.com.
And we like to say bonjour to our listeners in Paris, France. We really appreciate you listening.
All right, so let's start off with our first review, Steve. The first one we're going to do is Joe Jackson. Now, of course, you'll remember him from such hits as Steppin' Out. Is she really going out with him?
Is she really going out with him? Is she really gonna take him home tonight? Is she really going out with him?
Because if my eyes don't deceive me, there's something going wrong around here.
And I'm the man.
So give me all your money, guys. I know you.
Now, this one is called Joe Jackson Presents Max Champion in What a Racket. It just came out here. Steve, when did this come out? It was October?
End of November.
Okay, 2023. Now, Steve, this is the 21st studio album from Jackson. I had to look this up, but Max Champion is a music hall character born in the late 1880s, and Jackson wanted to record these songs so they wouldn't be lost to time. But it turns out this was all a big joke Jackson was playing. There is no Max Champion. Jackson, who can have a very sly sense of humor, has played us. And if the idea of music hall tunes seems a little bit daunting, I would also say that these songs reminded me a lot of the Moulin Rouge movie. If you enjoyed the music in that film, then I think you're going to have an idea of what to expect here. And either way, this album consists of Joe Jackson and a 12-piece orchestra.
Well, T-Bone, I'm going to correct you just a little bit. In the track listing or in the notes, it says all tracks are performed by Max Champion.
Well, exactly. And that's
AKA
the thing.
Joe.
Exactly. That's my whole point, is there is no Max Champion.
No, and I love this little concept album. But let's jump into it and see what we think about it. It kicks off with the first track, Why, Why, Why.
Why, if we don't arrive, can't we share a drink or two?
The album opens up with a track that's just full of Max asking various questions. I enjoyed the tempo that the song uses to kick off, and it gives you a great insight on what you're in store for this album. Features great orchestra work, and Joe's vocals are as strong as ever.
Yeah, the opening track, here it definitely tells us exactly where we're going to be going with this album. Jackson has concocted a music hall performance. We are the audience, and with this orchestra, this initial track really starts the tone. Jackson uses a strong Cockney accent to portray Max Champion. Initially, it's a little startling, as he doesn't sound at all like himself. I particularly like the vocal changes he uses, going from louder to immediately softer, then back to a harsher sound. It's a great transition.
Moving on to track number two, The Sporting Life.
But I've a mate called Mac who goes to the track and drinks till he thinks he's sober. He takes his pay and chucks it all away and thinks that he's having fun. No, the sporting life is not for me. I'd rather be a donkey or a monkey up a tree. I'll sweep the street, I'm meant for me, do anything at all. But don't make me kick another ball.
Great horns, piano, and a whistle kick off this track. I enjoyed how Joe goes from at times spoken word dialogue to singing and to a bit of shouting at times throughout the track. I enjoy how Joe is clearly channeling maybe the likes of Gilbert and Sutherland, not only on this song, but throughout the album. And that racing tempo that drives this song just fits perfectly to the theme of the song and the lyric.
Yeah, the opening track was a little bit on the slower side, but this one, Jackson starts it off with a blistering pace. And the track is one that really starts to show off the lyrical style that's going to be present throughout the album. And they are just brilliant. He uses the vocal styling to its height, creating a great comic approach. For example, the sporting life is not for me. I'd rather be a donkey or a monkey up a tree. I'll sweep the street. I'll mince the meat, do anything at all, but don't make me kick another ball. Absolutely brilliant lyrics. And that'll take us up to track number three, one of my favorites, Dear Old Mum, a London Irish lament.
Let me tell you about me, dear old mum, how she brought us up like proper little Paddies. You had to hand it to me, dear old mum. Well, it's a shame I'm still so scarred from where she scrubbed a bit too hard, but she's the only mum I'll ever know.
Jackson slows this one down with a poignant, but at the same time, quite hilarious look at a man's upbringing and love of his mother. And if you really listen to the lyrics, you'll find quite a story of his upbringing. The string arrangements work perfectly with the tone of the song, especially when a lone violin, along with plucking, comes in midway. And I know I've already quoted some lyrics, but I'm going to probably be quoting quite a few here. They're just so good. You have to hand it to my dear old mum. Well, it's a shame I'm still so scarred from when she scrubbed a bit too hard, but she's the only mum I'll ever know.
As with most of the songs on this album, it's full of Joe's wit, sarcasm, and humor. This one is no different. I love throughout the song how the number of children keep changing. The violin that plays throughout this tale is reflecting on Joe, or I mean Max, his mother. And T-Bone, you said you like to quote the lyrics on this one. The one that I really liked was the closing line. If she was an angel or the devil in disguise, she was the only mum you'll ever know.
Oh, absolutely. Just hilarious. And that'll take us up to the fourth track. Monty Mundy is Maltese.
What's different to a turban or a fez? There may be a point we're missing, so maybe we ought to listen what he says. Which is it takes all kinds of people in the world, and some of them are chalk and some are cheese. So change your minds and that's off if you please, cause Monty Mundy is Maltese.
Jackson picks up the pace with this track, and instrumentally this song is a tornado. The lyrics again are outstanding, and the musicianship is its equal. The horns really stand out, but it's Jackson's signature piano that is the highlight. Another thing I really liked, Steve, was the deep backing vocals chanting Monty Mundy at different times throughout the song. It's an odd addition, but certainly creates a little bit of a dark effect.
This one, the tempo with those deep percussions, like you mentioned, used creatively throughout the song, is going to pull you in, not only in the chorus, but throughout the song. Again, this is one that has a nice callback to that's maybe done more in the style of Gilbert and Sutherland. The orchestra on this track, I feel, really gets to shine. And I'm going to copy your notes a little bit, but yeah, that chant with the chorus was just a superb highlight on this song.
A really nice little addition.
And that's going to take us to track number five, The Shades of Night.
To see what your neighbors are doing in there. They're not playing pianos or
talking or reading a book. The shades of night were falling fast, but I still got a pretty good look.
This one starts with a waltz vibe as you're treated to the story of strolling through the town at night and what Max observes. T-Bone, like most of this album, to me, it just screams to be heard live. And if you catch Joe doing this on his upcoming tour, I'm very jealous. The lyrics, though, again, are a highlight. And without giving too much away with the punchline of the delivery of the last verse, it really makes this song a well worth listen.
You know, Steve, I thought this was probably the one track that reminded me most of Jackson's earlier material. He still uses the accent, but it's not quite as strong as on some of the other tracks. And it's the prominent piano work that also reminds us so much of what we've known from him. I particularly enjoyed the brief section late in the song where Jackson does some spoken word over the outstanding backing vocals. So that'll take us up to track number 6, and again, another favorite of mine, What a Racket.
Well, I don't really mind it, I take it as I find it, but I don't care what anybody thinks. And there's one thing I can't take, it's the noise that people make. What a ding, what a racket, I don't think I can hack it, I didn't come in looking for a fight. Pass a law and I'll back it, pass a bag and let me pack it, I'll do anything if it'll bring me sleep at night.
This title track is just about as good as it can get. The pace, again at a blistering speed, is both a joy to listen to, but absolutely hilarious. And the lyrics say, what a din, what a racket. I don't think I can hack it. I didn't come here looking for a fight. Pass a law and I'll back it. Pass a bag and let me pack it. I'll do anything if it lets me bring me sleep at night. Just brilliant. Both the piano and the horn work together in perfect unison. I would also say that if there's any song on this album that reminds me not only of Music Hall, but like I mentioned earlier, Moulin Rouge, this would be the one.
Yeah, T-Bone, you're right. One thing I really like on this album is how we go from tempos of Monty Monday to Dear Old Mom to Shades of Night to the frenzy of What a Racket. And you're right. This one is just like kind of like that full frenzy you get of Moulin Rouge.
Yeah.
This song is very energetic about Max living in London. This is another standout where you can just see the talent of Joe Jackson. And once again, this features outstanding musicianship. That mix of the orchestra with Joe's vocal delivery throughout the track works very effectively.
So track number 7 is entitled The Bishop and the Actress.
When you hear a cheeky chap say I like a bit of slap and tickle or a tremble of the knee, when something's getting sticky or somebody likes a quickie or is flashing us a wink and going tee hee hee, wielding a chopper, squealing what a whopper, delivery's in the rear, the bishop and the actress are still here.
Joe and his piano start this jaunty track, but before long, a trumpet comes in to liven things up further. Not long after that, a lonely violin makes an appearance, though briefly. This is with a number of the songs on the album have some racy lyrics, but you really have to listen to them to catch their meaning. This is a very short song, and maybe not the best on the album, but it's still spirited and a fun listen.
This piano-driven, risque story of a song again will feature some great talents of the orchestra and Joe. Like you mentioned, that trumpet solo was a very nice layer. But I really love Joe's reaction to it that just added to my enjoyment of the song. Most of the songs that we've heard on this album, the lyrics are, again, the standout. Let's move on to track number 8, Think of the Show, A Thespian's Lament.
You miss every harlequin and stagger off black and blue. As you sob in the wings, there's only one thing you can do. Think of the show, dear hearts, yes, the show must go on. And though it's a tale of woe, from Sydenham to Ceylon, think of the show, dear hearts, wherever a light is shone. A player must play, or what will they say when we're all gone?
Strong string work is heard throughout. This track to me felt like a nice breather track listening to this album in its entirety. I had to give some props for Joe capturing the style and sounds of that early 1900s. This is one of the shorter songs on the album, but it also falls into that trap we've seen time and time again. It repeats the title of the song, Think of the Show, over and over, and it just starts to feel a little bit stretched out to me.
Oh, I think I saw a little bit different than you did on that. But I found this smart and witty lyrics continue on this track about life in the theater. Jackson is able to rattle off the words at a manic pace, but they can be understood and are always quite funny. And the violins on this track are outstanding. They give a sharp punch to a very lively song.
We'll see how we feel about track number 9, Never So Nice in the Morning.
Never my best in the morning, in the morning. I should issue a 12-hour warning just to make it understood. No, I'm never my best in the morning, in the morning. I'm not great. Afternoon, slightly Saturday evening, not bad, but at night time I sing till late.
I enjoyed the various instruments that started out this one. It eventually turns into more of a waltz tempo, and you're treated to the story of how Max is definitely not a morning person. Again, the lyrics, musicianship, and Joe's vocal deliveries make this a very enjoyable track.
You could not be wrong, Steve. You're absolutely correct on here. Another one of my favorite songs on this album. Jackson starts the track with snarling vocals, which give the impression they will be used throughout the song. But then a wonderful tone change happens. Lyrics, I think, that most of us can relate to. For example, "Now I'm never my best in the morning. In the morning, I'm not nice. If you see me all scowling and yawning, keep away is my advice." I just love that. I particularly enjoyed the way Jackson changes his range during the song, going from a quieter tone to a little punchier during the chorus. Also, a flute line comes in late in the song and creates a really whimsical effect. This is another track where you can hear a little bit more of Jackson's own voice at times, which I think makes it even more fun to listen to. That'll take us up to the 10th track, Health and Safety.
Health and safety is your only wealth. Chide me, chafe me, save me from myself. I'm the scum, I'm the fool. What's me mom, give me some, want to send me back to school. Health and safety, what's it all about? Put that pipe down, stub the gasper out. Knock me down, lock me down, screw them flipping neck. It's always the working man gets it in the neck.
As we get towards the end of the album, Jackson adds in a military theme track that, just as the rest of the album, consists of fantastic lyrics and great musicianship. Very sharp horns give a wonderful counterpoint to the strings, but as is always the case, Jackson's piano work is top notch, melding perfectly in with all the other instruments.
Yeah, here we get another outstanding musical performance, and this one is easy to see why it was released as this one of the first singles on the album. The orchestra work is on point, as is Joe's lyrics. I like how you mentioned maybe more of a military-type chorus. I had maybe Joe trying to be like a patriotic chorus, Possibly. But I think they're kind of one in the same.
Yeah, one in the same.
And of course, the lyrics of humorous reflection on fitness and well-being makes this a very enjoyable song.
And so we're coming up to the final track on this album, number 11, Worst Things Happen at Sea.
Let's save our tears, be brave, my tears, and stand up straight and free. Remember what the sailors say, worst things happen at sea. Oh, worst things happen at sea.
After a great song incorporating, you know, maybe possibly some military lyrics, we finished the album with a passionate song about a sailor's life. There's a sort of sadness to this song, Steve, not something that we've heard on the rest of the album. And while it might not seem like the right way to end it, the overall idea and theme of Jackson's work fits tightly throughout, including this one. But nothing in the song can match such entertaining lyrics such as, "I had a dog called Lucky, a lively little chap, blind in his left eye and lost his right ear in a scrap. At least one leg was going lame, his coat was going bald, but he still answered to his name when anybody called." You can't go wrong with that, Steve.
Yeah, the album closes out with a semi-ballad, and I could definitely see some audience sing along if this was performed live. That chorus delivery has almost kind of more of an anthem type mixed with some orchestra to make it a very enjoyable listen. And you're right, the lyrics, though, are the highlight and still
top-notch.
Not only the song, but still a lot of the album.
Oh, absolutely. So knowing nothing about this album before my first listen, I will be the first to say that I was initially completely thrown off by what Jackson had done here. I can only imagine the meeting between Jackson and the record executives, though in today's music world, I tend to believe that Jackson did this album on his own. Regardless, if you're willing to open your mind and ears, this is an album that will totally surprise you, not only with the outstanding musicianship, but with the exceptional sense of humor throughout. I found that repeated listening makes it all come together so well that it brings you into a specific world, and that's what I like so much about it. Therefore, I not only give this album my strongest recommendation, but it will clearly be in my top 10 for the year. I fully understand that it's not going to appeal to everybody, but I found it both exciting, unusual, and maybe most importantly, exceedingly unique.
I have to hand it to Joe for releasing an album done entirely of fictional work from a writer done in the early 1900s. He definitely has captured the sound of that time period. And this is not the first time Joe has released an album done in another style. I kept thinking of how he released the album Jumpin' Jive back in 81, when it was more of a big band hit. And that was not really the style back in 81. It was probably out of the blue, I like this album. And actually, I was a big fan of Jumpin' Jive. Much like Jumpin' Jive, this is not going to gain any new fans. This is clearly, if you're a Joe Jackson fan, and you appreciate his wit and humor, you're going to love this album. If you're not a Joe Jackson fan, this is not the album for you. I will recommend if you're looking for something different and unique and entertaining. This one really needs to be listened to all at once throughout its entirety. It does a great job of telling a story. And trust me, you will not be disappointed in the experience of diving into this album. It's one that I feel will entertain you and also probably bring you just a little bit of joy.
Steve, you hit the nail on the head on this one. You really do need to listen to this from beginning to the end.
All right, T-Bone. Well, I don't know about you, but I think we need a little bit of a break. Let's jump into some music news.
Let's do. So, unfortunately, we're going to start off with a little bit of sad news. You probably know already about the passing of Shane McGowan, the lead singer of the Pogues. He died on November 30th of this year, and he will be missed. He was a great singer, and if you get right down to it, a real poet.
Yeah, I don't know if T-Bone, if you saw the highlight from his funeral, but they ended up playing Fairy Tale of New York at the very end.
Yeah.
And half the funeralers got up and were dancing towards the end. It was just kind of, to me,
kind of a celebration,
touching tribute. Well, on a happier note, the Vapors just released a brand new Christmas single called Hey Baby, It's Christmas.
Christmas.
You can get from all your retailers of choice, and it's like a dollar download. I highly recommend it. You won't be disappointed.
And then, as you know, another single, we have one from both Simple Minds and Ice House together. It is a cover of Get It On.
Where you dance when you walk, so let's dance, take a chance, understand me. You're pretty sweet and you're my girl.
T-Bone, something that surprised me is we have new music from Real Life, but we got a brand new single called Everything Explodes.
I can say it again. I think I'm in love, but I feel no pain. I don't want the world to know, but when my eyes are closed, everything explodes.
And new music is also on the way from the Jesus and Mary Chain. Their new album is going to be called Glasgow Eyes. The release date for that is going to be March 8th of next year. And they new have a single out now called Jam Cod.
And a very nice surprise for 2024, a band that I didn't think was going to be touring the U.S. for quite a while just happens to be retouring again. The Hoodoo Gurus are going to be touring the U.S. in September of 2024. And you can bet if you're in Salt Lake City around the September 22nd, you will see Steve and T-Bone at that show.
You know you will. And then speaking of touring, Adam Ant with English Beat are going on a really big U.S. tour. It's going to start off on March 21st in St. Louis, and it will end on May 10th in Phoenix, Arizona. And that should be a pretty good combination, I would think, both the Beat and Adam Ant.
Joe Jackson's going on tour. It's billed as Joe Jackson and Max Champion. So the tour is going to consist of the first set being exclusively of Joe Jackson's solo material, then probably a brief intermission, and you're going to get the music of Max Champion with Max coming out to close out the show and entertain you with the songs you probably just heard in our review. And that tour is going to be kicking off in June of 2024.
And finally, on touring news, the Blow Monkeys are going to be touring the UK. Unfortunately, nothing for the US on this tour. I'm still hoping that one day we'll see them over here. And they're also going to be putting out a brand new album in 2024. I know we're going to be looking forward to that one.
And if you haven't heard by now, Cruel World announced their lineup. The festival is going to be taking place on Saturday, May 11th in Pasadena, California. This is, I believe, the third. Cruel World.
Right.
It's going to be headlined by Duran Duran, Interpol, Blondie, Simple Minds. One of the other acts that I'm kind of curious about is you have Ministry. And on the poster, it says they're going to be performing songs from With Sympathy and Twitch.
Right.
Don't get too excited because I don't think you're going to hear synth.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to hear the synth versions of those songs. I think they're going to probably be a little bit harder. The lineup also includes Heaven 17, General Public, The Alarm, The Motels, Adam Ant, The Jesus and Mary Chain, Soft Cell. It just goes on and on and on.
All right, well, enough with the news. Let's jump into the next album review. This one, we're going to be looking at the latest release from Madness. You're no doubt going to remember Madness from their ultra hit, Our House.
Our mum, she's so house proud. Nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our street. Our house, in the middle of our street.
Something tells you that you've got to make
in the middle of our.
It must be love.
I know that it's you I need to take the blue.
And one step beyond.
Well, listen, Buster, you better start to move your feet to the rockin'est, rock-steady beat of Madness. One step beyond!
Their new album is called Theater of the Absurd, presents C'est la Vie, and this came out also in 2023. Now, on this album, we have Graham Suggs McPherson on vocals, Chris Foreman on guitars, Mike Barson on keyboards and piano, Lee Thompson on sax and percussion, Dan Woodgate on drums, Mark Bedford on bass, and a slew of musicians on strings and horns. Now, Steve, what I found interesting is, though a couple of the original members had left the band long ago, everyone on this album is an original member from 1976 and 77.
Yeah, one thing I found out on this, the creation of the record was spurred by the principle of let's let Madness be Madness. In a statement Madness said about the album, describes the recording process as the perfect antidote to the chaos of the past few years, and referred to their current form as properly in the zone, and the result of the recording process was understood as their most harmonious recording experience to date.
So this is their 13th studio album from Madness, and the first since 2016's Can't Touch Us Now. And Steve, interestingly enough, this is the first number one album in the UK that they've had after more than 40 years.
I did see that. Quite impressive.
Yeah.
And before we jump into the album, we should note we usually go track by track. However, there's, I believe, five or six tracks that are more just spoken word, brief interludes.
Yeah.
And we're not going to really hit on those. We'll just briefly mention them as we go through where they are in the track placement. But one thing I found particularly fascinating doing after reviewing show prep for this, the spoken word coming from was the vocal by Martin Freeman.
The first one is one of those 10-second interludes. We'll skip that one. It's called Mr. Beckett, Sir. But the second track is where we'll start, and that one is Theater of the Absurd.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so glad that you heard of the blackest black comedy from the house of the absurd.
first real song on the album begins as though we're preparing to listen to a live stage show. The sounds of production starting up. Finally, all the instruments come together, followed by piano and string. Sugg's familiar voice is added in, as well as horns. It begins as a mid-tempo track to get things started, but before long, the pace changes direction.
Yeah, to me, T-Bone, I found this was a great full opening track to kick off the album. Whether you're a big or just casual fan of Madness, this track I felt had something for everyone. The vocal delivery by Sugg's is outstanding. The band musically gets to shine, and once the chorus slowly builds up and comes into play, I'm all in.
And the third track is going to be If I Go Mad.
If I go mad without you. If I go mad,
I go mad
without you. Here's to everybody, to all of my friends. Here's to all the summers we wish would never end. Here's to all the ditches with no fish. All the people that I really miss. Here's to all the summers with no sun.
This track opens up with a great drum beat that continues throughout the song, but that's just one element, as guitars, bass, and horns all come together to make another great song. Sugg's and the backing vocalists work together wonderfully, but it's a trumpet right underneath the vocals during the chorus that I found exceptional. I also like the inclusion of different vocal spots at different points, but they're really only heard with headphones. And we've talked about this many times, Steve. That's something. This album is something that I would really recommend using headphones while listening to these songs.
If the opening track was not quite the sound you expected for Madness, this one should be the one to pull you in. From the harmony vocals kicking off the track, like you mentioned, the horns, the bass line, the organ, each member really of the band really gets to shine. And you're right, you get to hear each of their contributions, especially on headphones. And that's going to take us to track number 4, Baby Burglar. Sugg's vocals kick off this song, which we also get a bit of more of a ska tempo. And that horn work that comes in to me really was a highlight and works very well. This is one of my new favorite Madness songs. It's easily one that will be stuck in your head after listening and leave you wanting more once it's over.
Yeah, the organ that starts this track creates a great effect. Once all the instruments, especially the bass and drums, make an appearance, then it comes together to create a mid-tempo sound that does bring a recollection of some of the earlier ska sounds Madness was known for. And you mentioned those horns. They come in strong late in the song, and just they sound fantastic.
Here we come to track number 5. It's one of those spoken word dialogue tracks, Act 1, surrounded on all sides.
So that'll lead us up to the 6th track, C'est la vie.
And though you try to get back home, your cupboard's bare without a phone. C'est comme, c'est quoi, c'est pas écrit. Je ne me fais pas servir. C'est comme, c'est quoi, c'est pas écrit.
This one has more of a ska bass than some of the other songs, though it is a little bit on the slower side. As with all the songs on this album, the use of piano and organ works so well with that sound that Madness is going for. It really brings back memories of such songs as Our House and how it was used so effectively with that song.
This was the first single on the album, and for good reason. Sugg's vocals are once again front and center on this one, but the musical talents of the rest of the band also pull this track into an amazing performance. Once the song peaks with that chorus, I really enjoyed how it was delivered and presented on the album. Again, it's another album highlight for me. Moving on to track number 7, What on Earth Is It You Take Me For?
Between the cause and the emotion of damage, what on earth is it you take me for? Is your ego doing battle with the ratings? Marking me afflicted to the very core. Take responsibility for your failure.
I love the tempo on this song. The horns in this one really is the standout highlight for me. The lyric delivery by Sugg's is on point, as is the rest of the band. I like the various vocals that come in and out of the song, and the band just yelling some of the lyrics works very well. So far, every track that we've heard on this album, T-Bone, I'm really enjoying.
Yeah, the deep horn that opens this track and then shows up throughout is really a highlight. It brings about that old Madness sound. Instrumentally, there's a fun funk to this track, especially with the use of the percussion. And I would say that all the lyrics on this album are pretty smart, such as on this one, "The problem as I see it, and I'm not one to judge, but your void of compassion takes a dive in the sludge." And that'll take us up to track number 8, "Hour of Need."
This feeling of uncertainty, just don't know where to go. Serenity's lost and out of reach. The night is cold as snow. So be my protector.
I really like the string plucking that opens this track, then continues throughout. At times, the other instruments almost seem secondary to that plucking, but late in the song, they all come in strong, especially the horns. Sugg's vocals are particularly effective as the song goes on, and the song ends on a sax solo, which you can never go wrong having.
The song does kick off, like you said, with the string plucking. And then there's a percussion tempo that's just mixed perfectly to guide you into another enjoyable song for Madness. This one, the horns come in and out and work very well. This song starts to walk that line of going on maybe just a bit too long, but quickly adds in a horn solo mixed with some organs and some violins that'll come in to close out the track.
And that leads us up to the 9th, which is another one of the interludes, Act 2, The Damsel in Distress.
Moving on to track number 10, Round We Go. Here, T-Bone, we get what may be another one of my new favorite Madness songs. I love on this album how each song maybe sounds unique and fresh and new and different, but yet just with a little bit of a highlight from what we've loved for Madness in the past. And this is another one, if you're jumping back into the world of Madness, would be a great track to start out with. The pace, the vocal delivery, and those occasionally backing vocals that come in and out of the song work very well.
Could not agree with you more. This is actually one of my favorite tracks on the album. The previous songs have been fine, but I think this song is really where the album starts to take off. Sugg's vocals are outstanding, but when the chorus comes in, the song takes a new, exciting life. The backing vocals during the chorus are exceptional, working right in tandem with Sugg's, and a strong sax solo part of the way in only makes the song better. Track 11 is another interlude. This one's Act 3. The Situation Deteriorates.
Let's move on to track 12, Lockdown and Frack Off. First off, I love the title of this song. I liked how Sugg's vocals delivery will occasionally change. He has like that little bit of a slight laugh at the very beginning. To me, I felt that was a very nice highlight on this song. Again, this one, the band gets to shine and deliver an outstanding musical performance. It might not be one of the strongest songs on the album, but still very enjoyable.
You know, to me, it sounds like there's banjo plucking to open this track, but I could be wrong. It's a unique sound, though, that I don't think we've heard on the album. I do love how the chorus really comes in and takes the song to a new place with horns as the structure. The tempo for me is on this track is just right as it slows down at just the right times, then picks up as the chorus comes in, and with those horns coming in even stronger. And that'll take us up to track number 13, Beginners 101.
Having fun.
really like how Dan Woodgate brings in the drums after the song has already begun. This track is a little bit slower, but at the same time, quite beautiful, especially with Sugg's wistful vocals. Outstanding piano, guitar, and chimes work together wonderfully along with that great drum beat. But yet again, it's a great sax solo that works so well on bringing this song together.
For me, the piano that kicked off this track, I really felt that was a nice change and a nice touch. I like how musically the band is mixing it up. The semi-ballad is another track that I really enjoyed on the album. It's a bit different than what we've heard so far, but it works and flows perfectly. To me, when the track peaks, I've got to admit, I'm smiling and really enjoying what I'm hearing from Madness. And you're right, there's just so much musicianship that's coming into this track. This is another one that you really need to focus on a good pair of headphones. Moving on to track number 14, Is There Anybody Out There?
Is there anybody out there who'd like a little bit of what I got? It's got your name written all over. Sounds too good to be true. Then it generally is. I got that in red, white and blue. Coffee color yellow, right up to curfew. Step back in time for one night only.
Like the prior tracks, this one has a nice change of style. The semi-jazz tempo works perfectly on this song. I felt Sugg's vocals made the lyrics pop. The horn work that accompanies him is blended perfectly. T-Bone, I dare say that so far I'm really enjoying this album.
The somewhat grungy guitars that work with the organ is a nice way to open this track. Both really bring about the memories of the Manchester scene from the 90s, and the use of bongos in conjunction with the horns make a great combination. And I love the lyrics. I sell ice to Eskimos for a tuppence a bag, or a line of guacamole to the holy in drag. These lyrics are just frivolous and fun, giving this song a different edge. That'll take us to the 15th track, The Law According to Dr. Kippa.
Silence is welcome on a crashing shore. The shadow of movement shall no more. Gonna reenact that battle scene along the Highgate Road with the Highbury. Though we never rocked and ruled supreme, we stood our ground in the face of adversity.
Though I do like the second half of this album a little bit more than the first, this is probably the least favorite song that I have on the album so far. Instrumentally, it's okay. Not horrible, but nothing that interesting. And it's also the longest song on the album, which may not have helped matters a whole lot.
The ambience noise that started off this track I felt was a nice change before Sugg's vocals jump right into this one. Again, kind of a spoken word delivery of the vocals that start to blend in some electric guitars building up to that chorus and sounding great. That horn solo mixed with some great synths was a nice highlight on this track. Again, this song, the lengthwise, it could have overstayed its welcome, but to the credit of the band, they again deliver a strong track.
And that'll take us up to the 16th track, another one of the interludes called Epilogue. And so, ladies and gentlemen, next up is the 17th track and one of my absolute favorites on this album, Run for Your Life.
Ice is melting in the sun, new horizons have begun. Tide is high, we all agree, benefits are there to see.
Run for your life.
To see, open your eyes.
Run for your life. Run for your life. Run for your life.
Steve, after a misfire, this is the best track on the album. I'd also say it's the least Madness-sounding track, but that's okay since it's so good. The pace is brisk and the vocals are about as good as you can get. I particularly like the unexpected drum beat working right with the horns. Sugg's vocals are a bit muted and even altered late in the track, but they match up well with the instruments. This track has an amazing groove to it, and if you don't start moving, whether you're sitting or standing, then there's something wrong with you.
The percussions, the horns, and that semi-distorted vocals to kick off this song, I really enjoyed. I like how it slowly starts to keep building upon itself. The chorus delivery mixed with the spoken word vocals worked perfectly. The guitar riff in this one was another musical highlight that I enjoyed. This is another song that when it ended, it left me wanting more. You're right. It's an absolute gem on this album. Let's see how we feel about track number 18, Set Me Free, Let Me Be. Again, we're treated to Sugg's vocals delivery mixed with the band showing off their talents. The bass line and the horns were a nice highlight on this track. We also get a bit more of a guitar solo later in the song. It's another song that, shocker, T-Bone, I really enjoyed.
No, as did I. Yeah, the different guitar lines that open this track really give it a unique sound. And you're absolutely right. The bass line working with them makes the track really work. And when the horns come in, they add a real nice addition. Plus, the backing vocals give this track a lot of soul. Wonderful track.
We're moving on to track number 19, In My Street.
'Cause in my street, the lovely people you meet. I've got a line, but I can't get away. Oh no, no, not until Judgment Day. It's a strange old thing when you're on your own.
We come to the last full-length song on the album. The piano work on this track for me did a great job of pulling you in and not letting you go. Again, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but everybody from Madness gets a shine on this closing track. This track does a great job of going from a frenzy of music to going to almost a dead stop for some vocal delivery and then starting right back up again. To me, this is how you close an album.
You're right about the pianos. This one starts with pounding pianos and Sugg's voice, which open the track. But before long, they get to the normal Madness piano that we've come to expect. All the instrumentation that we've had through this album comes together to close it out. One thing that I really liked about this song is the changes of pace and tone that take place. It's really a wonderful way to end the album. And the horns, especially throughout the whole album, are really strong here. Closing things off, we have the 20th track, Finn, Ladies and Gentlemen. It's another interlude.
Overall, T-Bone, I've got to admit, I'm not a huge Madness fan. Yeah, I own the singles or own the hits of Madness, but I'm not what would you call a huge fan. As you can tell from my review, though, I really enjoyed this album. This is an album I would highly recommend whether you're a hardcore, casual, or just a fan of some good music. This is an album I feel you're going to really enjoy.
Yeah, unlike you, I was been a huge Madness fan for decades. I saw them once in Southern California, really enjoyed them. But as I alluded to, I really think the second half of this album is better than the first. And that's not to say that there isn't fine content in that first half, but it seems to me that the second is where the best songs are included. And I think that may be due to just the fact of the matter is there's too many songs on this album. Most are quite good, but I'm convinced that if a few had been left off, this album would have been much better. And Madness is prolific. They're putting out albums every couple of years. They could have included a few on their next release. So while I like this album, and I've always been a fan of the band, I can only give it a mild recommendation. It just goes on too long before we get to the meat of it.
All right, T-Bone, well, I'm really looking forward to our next episode. We finally get to hear the new Peter Gabriel album.
Finally.
And we're also going to jump into the Trevor Horn album full of covers.
Yes.
Look how that goes.
Really interesting. I've already started listening to that. It's not anything I really expected. I'll be interested in seeing what you think about it, Steve.
And also, we're going to be revealing our top 10 albums of 2023.
Yes, we are.
Our listeners have sent us a few albums that they really liked of 2023. If you still want to do that, send us an email, newwavemusicpodcast@yahoo.com. You can also send it to us via any of our social media through Instagram, Facebook. Just look up New Wave Music Podcast. We'd love to hear your input.
Yeah, and we'll look forward to seeing you on our next episode.